Well, this Sunday, we're starting a new series for the next 3 weeks called What Child Is This? And this, the song, actually, What Child Is This? Was written by a man, was actually started off as a poem by William Dix, and the name of the poem was titled The Manger Throne. And back in the 1800s, they put this together with a song, traditional English song called Greensleeves, which is interesting how many songs probably was put together with that song to make it, and it became a Christmas carol called What Child Is This? And the first stanza of that is, What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing, haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the son of Mary. For a long time, for the last couple centuries, this song has been something that reminds us, or hopefully reminds one, of asking that question, what child is this? And historically, we can answer that. And today, we're going to share a little bit about what that is, and over the next 3 weeks. But one of the most important things is it's not just the facts and not just what he is, but what is he to you? Because we can know everything there is about what child this is and still not changes. But the whole purpose that this child came, the whole purpose that he's here, that he came for us, is that we might know him personally. We might have that relationship to him. And part of that, as far as understanding what child this is, has to do, as we saw in this first line, has to do with the shepherds. And today we have a personal testimony from one of those shepherds who's going to come and share with us. He'll be here soon.
Hey. All right, now listen up, boys. Y'all want to be good sheep herders? Two things you got to remember. One, got to stay awake. And two, got to ask questions. Well, not now, Benji. I mean, you got to ask questions if something don't look right or you get a strange feeling in your gut. Like, for example, night all them angels showed up and y'all were asleep and I was wide awake. Just like my daddy taught me. Well, you bet I'm bragging. Being awake's what separates the men from the boys, son. So like I was saying, it was the middle of the night, and I was wide awake. And I get this fluttering in my gut. You know when, you know something's going to happen. Something big's going to happen. But you just don't know what it is. Well, guess you don't know what you don't know. So, move this microphone. So I come up over this rise. And bingo, the biggest, scariest looking angel you ever did see. And the first thing out of his mouth was, don't be scared. It's too late. But then, gets this really nice look on his face. And he says, I got good news for you. That big old angel said a baby boy had been born. He's going to save the world. He's over in Bethlehem in a feed trough. Then a whole mess of angels showed up. And glory to God they was singing. Glory to God in the highest. They sang for a spell. It was beautiful. It was a little haunting. Then they was gone. Well, don't get invited to something like that every day. Especially being an old crusty sheep herder. And that baby's mama, she was surprised to see us. And we told her about the whole angel showing up and I think she was tickled pink. And we hung out for a while, you know, making sure everything was all right. And it's kind of like when a baby lamb gets born, you know. Once you know everything's okay, you just kind of settle in and enjoy it all. This was a world-saving baby. We got to brag on him for a little bit, you know. And Benji, this old soul, has been alive ever since.
So have you ever pictured yourself in that situation? What would you have done? Been like if this massive angel was showed up just in the middle of the night, then this group of angels, I mean, we heard the testimony, we could read it in the scriptures, but just picture yourself what it would have been like. And as Andy shared there, it would have been life-changing. And one thing that these shepherds did is they just didn't keep it to themselves. The Bible says that they began to go out and share this with everyone they saw and started sharing this great thing. So when we think about what child is this, a big part of that is he was a shepherd. And if we look at in the scriptures and try to understand, well, what was a shepherd like in the Bible times? Well, what did it mean to be a shepherd? Jesus himself said, and it's recorded in John 10:11, says, I am the good shepherd. So the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So when you think about a shepherd, there's a commitment there to the sheep to a point of laying down their life. It's not just a hireling, not just somebody that's just going to be around, but would lay down their life. And as Andy shared, shepherds weren't really high class back then. In fact, if you look back in the Old Testament, there was the Egyptians that they wouldn't even eat with them. They were so despised. They didn't want anything to do with them. So they were sort of like down. They were a rough group. But these are the ones that God chose to come and show. Just come and show themselves. And I wonder, you know, just rationally thinking that because their heart was geared to watch. They were watching. And something that Jesus, if you remember, how many times did Jesus tell us, watch. Just watch. So part of that, you know, the shepherds in the Bible also, but sheep and flocks were their economy back then. So the more you had, you know, the wealthier you are. If you go through the scriptures, in fact, one of the first professions that the Bible talks about when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden was a shepherd, Abel. Abel was a shepherd. And Abraham, the Bible talks about him shepherding. And Jacob and Job had thousands and thousands of sheep. So there was this whole heart of what a shepherd was. And one of the ones that, as far as probably a lot of people are familiar with, we think more of him as a warrior king, but he was a shepherd, was King David. And King David wrote a psalm, Psalm 23. And, you know, when they found David, David was shepherding. He was out in the fields. In fact, he was forgotten about in his family. You know, they asked, well, where's your son? So when Samuel came to anoint the king of Israel, he was anointed. He was looking at all the sons, and he goes, and his dad goes, oh yeah, there's one other one. He's out there in the field. And he was, and then even after David had this heart, see, God was developing David as a leader. If you look in the scriptures, God related the leaders of Israel, the nations, as shepherds. If you look, in fact, just last night I was reading the book of Ezekiel in chapter 34. He was comparing the leadership. He called them, you are shepherding my nation. You're shepherding my people. Really, the leaders of a nation are shepherds. And God was talking about what the accountability of those shepherds, of those leaders. How are you caring for my people? How are you taking care of them? So that's really part of the perspective. And so David, he went, even after he was anointed, after this amazing anointing, he went back shepherding. Went back taking care of the sheep. God was developing that heart in him. So when we talk about what child this is, realize this child is a shepherd. So we look at, if we can look at some of the duties, what are the responsibilities of a shepherd? Well, in Psalm 23, what's David? You know, it's one thing writing something when you know nothing about it. But this is a psalm that David wrote, and it's about shepherding. It's about what it means to be a shepherd. So in Psalm 23, he starts off, he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." So part of the responsibility of the shepherd was caring for the sheep, caring for the needs of the sheep, making sure there's nourishment there. And I believe as Jesus being our shepherd, that's both physically and spiritually and in our soul, in our relationships. You know, there's a verse after that in Psalm 23 verse 3, it says, "He restores my soul." And I know we can look and think, we'll all have concepts, but what that actually means, that word restore means to put back the way it was. And some of us think, well, my soul has been messed up since I was little. But what he's referring to is back to where it's supposed to be from the very beginning. Back the way it was, where there was a relationship with God and there was peace and there was provision and there was, because he prefaced this already with, he's going to take care of us. So part of the responsibility of a shepherd was caring for sheep. David talked about how he entered in and he fought a lion and a bear to protect. He wasn't thinking about himself. He just went after these animals who naturally could kill a human. But he just, the anointing, he just had this passion, desire, I'm going to protect, because he had a shepherd's heart. That's the way, as we sang the song today, that's the heart of Jesus. We sang that nothing's going to stop him. That's his heart. He's not going to look and think, well, wait a minute, I can't deal with that. He said, no, I'm just going for it. Of course, he's God, you know. And so, but that's his heart. He says, I'm going after it. David also, as he was writing this, and he had this understanding of what a shepherd, he said, even though, in Psalms 23, verse 4, it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, think about that. He's realizing, you know, I don't have to be afraid, because you're right here. You ever been in a situation where you're afraid? You ever walk someplace or been someplace that, man, this is not good. You know, or your senses, but to feel like I got somebody with me. You know, there's someone here. I can go anywhere and not be afraid. That's what David was saying. Because I could go anywhere. I could be any place. And because God is with me, I don't have to be afraid. And that's not just in a natural place. That's places in our life. Where we're walking, what we're dealing with in life, situations in our life, is remembering, wait a minute, the shepherd's here. I don't have to be afraid. He's with me. I don't know if you remember a Christian counselor, Gary Smalley. He's an author, national speaker. He wrote many times. He's counseled for years and years and years and years, written all kinds of books. I mean, he spoke at Promise Keepers on television, everything. After 30 years, he said, you know, I finally got this revelation. He dealt with fear. He really, I mean, he was a counselor, counseled everybody in all kinds of situations, but he said all his life he dealt with fear. And the one thing that broke that for him is one day he realized that there's nothing I'm going to go through that God isn't with me. He said, whatever it is, it doesn't mean nothing's going to happen. It doesn't mean there aren't going to be situations, but the reality is when those situations happen, he is with me. He is that good shepherd. So part of being a shepherd is that he cares for us. He protects us. Jesus said himself, he says, the thief comes to, part of a shepherd is protect from not just animals, but from people stealing. You know, those thieves back in would come in and take the sheep. You know, there's thieves right now on the face of the earth trying to take our life, trying to take that promise, the blessings of God, bringing lies, telling us things, situations in life. And Jesus said, I have come that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the fullest. So the shepherd's heart is to take care of us. And there's a verse in Isaiah 53:6. He says, all of us are like sheep, and all of us have gone astray. There's no one who hasn't left the flock. No one who has gone. Even though matter, if you were raised in church, you're not raised in church. If you were raised and every night the Bible's read to you, in our hearts, we all need redemption. And it's not just a one time happened 25 years ago or 5 years ago. We need redemption every day. You know, we need the redeeming grace of God every day in our life to help us. Lord, help me this day be saved. Help me this day to walk away. Doesn't mean he doesn't leave us. Doesn't mean we're not saved. We don't have an eternal covenant. but the fact of the reality of walking in that eternal covenant. Lord, help me. And that's part of the mission of a shepherd, is to do that. So a shepherd, he is one who came, laid down his life. He is one who came to provide, to protect us. He's blessed us beyond measure. He takes care of us, gives us, and Jesus is the good shepherd. So when you think about what child this is who he is. Now, there's another group of people involved here, and this song doesn't really say a lot about what he, or really specify who they are, but so here's another stanza, the third one. It says, so bring him incense, gold, myrrh, come peasant king to own him. Now, you know, who do you think that's referring to? Who brought him incense, gold, and myrrh, frankincense? Who brought him that? The Magi, the wise men. And the wise men, though they're not specifically mentioned here, there's something about them when we look at what child is this that we can learn from them. And you know what? We have one of them here today. They're going to share with us.
What child is this? Yes, that's the question. That has always been the question. What child is this? We had to figure that question out. We had to know the answer. That single question was the driving force behind our entire lengthy journey. And my friends, I know the answer. Many who encountered us along our journey, they called us wise, even if they knew us for only a moment. I hesitate to give much credence to their judgment. But it is known, well, at least it should be known, that knowledge is best acquired when one keeps their eyes and their ears open and their mouths closed. So may I suggest that you close your mouth and you open your ears, and I will, to the best of my ability, answer your question as clearly as I can. One, we did not stumble upon this child. No, we found a needle in a haystack. And how did we find this needle? Well, we followed the star. And I know many of you would say that that is a fool's errand, but we are no fools. That star was moved by a powerful and unseen force. And who moves stars but God? Two, we talked with that corrupt, conniving king. And that king wanted us to find this child so that he could worship him. My friends, do kings worship babies? No. Kings defend their thrones. And that king Herod, was a cruel and ruthless despot. And it does not take a wise man to discern that. That king felt that this child was a threat. And my friends, this child is a threat to all who are cruel and ruthless. And three, I don't have words for three. All my life, I have searched for the truth, for what is right, so that I could own that for myself. And it was always just beyond the horizon of my ability to know. Until in an instant, I stepped over a threshold, and it was all right there. that father and that mother and that star and that little child. All my years of searching, all the time I studied, it was all right there in front of me. It was all in that little child. How could I not worship him? My friends, you don't need to search any longer.
Thank you, Tom. So what could we learn from the wise men? You know, when I put this picture, we thought, oh, there's Rafe. That's not Rafe. What can we learn from the wise men? When we're trying to answer the question, what child is this? There's just a few things that we can learn from him. First of all, when we look at the wise men, the Bible says in the scripture that there were these kings, the wise men, who came from the east. And they were asking about Jesus, and they gave him this frankincense, gold, and myrrh. And from the east actually refers to anything east. It doesn't mean China or Japan. It usually, if you were a Jewish person back then, it basically means the same thing as today, which means on the other side of the Jordan. So it could be Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Iraq, you know, any of those. Yemen could be any of those countries. And part of the reason why they say that these were from the east, and they were not Jewish, they were Gentiles. And why they said that is because most of those gifts they gave them all came from that area. The frankincense and myrrh were harvested in the Arabian Peninsula. The gold, if you look in the Old Testament, Solomon, the gold and stuff that typically came into Israel was from that area. So that's one reason. And you know, there's things in the scripture I think, hey, whatever. You know, they were from the east. If they were from Japan, hey, they were from Japan, whatever. But that's typically what they are referring to. But part of why we can look at this and come and things we can learn as far as what child this is realize that these wise men came from a distance. It wasn't just a straight shot. They didn't have Route 23 or 71. They could just go down. I mean, they had to go up because they couldn't go across the desert. It took wherever they came from, 3, 5, 6 months to get there. And so they came from a distance. When we think about Jesus, he also came from a distance. He came from heaven to earth. He came from being beside his Father. The Gospel of John, he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And he was talking about, and the Word was God. And he was talking about that he was with him, that Jesus came from heaven to earth to give his life for us. Another thing that the wise men typically, these guys had wealth. These things they gave him weren't cheap. I mean, they're actually frankincense and myrrh was probably as if not more expensive than the gold was. And so they had this wealth and they had this desire. And as we heard, they followed the star to follow him. And so we don't believe in star following, but they were being aware. They were aware of what was going on. And they were generous with their gifts. The Bible says about God, he says the earth, in Psalm 24:1, it says the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein. For every beast, in Psalm 50, it says every beast of the forest is mine, cattle on 1,000 hills. If you look in the book of Revelation, I mean, you think about where God lives, streets of gold and big pearl, all this stuff. All these things, this is who God is, but he's generous. He gives. So when we look at Jesus compared to the wise men, they realize that he was willing to come. He was willing to come a distance and that, but he was also very much, and he has resources, but he is also willing to give those resources to us. There's some scriptures in Galatians to just share a little bit about this heart of giving that God has. It says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. When we realize the generosity, here Jesus was not just coming to give gifts. He was coming to give himself, to give his own life. In fact, he was basically mimicking or had the same characteristic of his heavenly Father. Because we realize in John 3:16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son." So there's this heart of giving that God has. And these wise men, they followed the star. But they were aware. Again, they were awake. They were sensitive. They were watching. They saw something changed. Something happened. And it's something about being in tune with what's going on. What's happening, God? What's going on? What are you doing? And you know, it's interesting. Out of all the earth, out of all the things, it was Gentiles that he showed the star to. It wasn't in the Jewish culture. It was these Gentiles. And they followed the star. Now, they were aware of the story. Because back, if you read through history, the Jews were scattered all over. That's part of what they did back then. When a conquering country came in, nation, they would scatter that nation all over, disperse them. So the story of the Messiah was scattered all over. So there was a sense that this was going on, but they weren't ready. The timing, when was this going to happen? Well, these wise men were watching, and they saw something happen, and they started following the star. And there's a whole kinds of teachings on what that is. But all I realize is what we heard. God did it, and they were following it. And they came, and they were discerning the whole time, and they were coming to Jerusalem. And you ever thought it was interesting how these people, the people in Jerusalem, knew where the Messiah was going to be born, but none of them were going to go. Not till later, King Herod was said, you know, go and kill the babies and stuff. But so there was that sense of following after them and following and being sensitive to what God has for them. The other thing that the wise men portrayed is they were seekers. There was a heart. We want to find the truth. We want to know. And Jesus came. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and save what was lost. And I don't know about you, but I'm one of those lost. And I'm glad he came to seek and save. And he came to deliver us and to free us from our sins and restore us back to that relationship. There's a promise in Jeremiah 29:13. I don't know if it's up in there, but it says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." You know, it doesn't say in there that you have to be, that doesn't refer to a certain gender or race or classification of people or where you live. It says, this is anybody. Anybody who seeks me, and you will find me if you seek me. I'm there for you. And so Jesus, the wise men were seekers, and so were Jesus. Could our worship team, if they would come on up, please. One thing to consider, I'm sure these wise men, or I would guess, wouldn't you perceive if you were going to go and worship a king, the mighty king, what you were picturing what he was going to live in? What he was living, what kind of place he was living in? So when they got there, he was in this house. I'm sure it wasn't a very fancy house. Because carpentry, that it wasn't like a super high-paying job. Wouldn't it have been easy to go, no, he can't live there. Or wouldn't it have been easy to start maybe thinking like, well, who is this? Because it's not, look at his parents, they're not that fancy. We would think he would live in a castle or something. Or live in some place. He should be in Jerusalem where the capital is or whatever that is. You would think they could have thought those things. But they didn't let that deter them. Because they were seeking the truth. They were seeking who he really was. And so there's something about sometimes our perceptions can block us from who God really is and what he really has for us. If we could go ahead and stand. So when we look at relating to the wise men, that this child came to seek and save both Jews and Gentiles. He's a savior for all the world, not just a few select, for all the world. Jesus said, it's the will of God that not one single person perish. God isn't up there saying, I'm going to get rid of that one, I'm going to keep that one. I'm going to get rid of that one, I'm going to keep. His heart is that all come to know him. All come to know the generosity of him and the blessings of him and the salvation of him and the freedom of him. He came that we can all have that. So today, just ask for, if you make a commitment to him, that would you be willing to seek him? to worship Him like the wise men did, and give Him the gifts of your life, your talents, your abilities. Lord, here's what I have, and I'm going to present them to you. You know, when you look at the overall plan of God, you know, we hear the story of Christmas, or hear the story that's wrapped up with Christmas, but realizing that King Herod, immediately when that happened, King Herod sent his troops in to kill all the babies. He told Joseph, get up and go. Isn't it nice that Joseph and his family had this resource? Here he had gold and frankincense and myrrh. They could get him, help him get established wherever he's going to go and take care of him. God has this plan. It's a wonderful plan. But are we willing to give our lives and our talents to God? And also as the shepherds, being aware, being awake, listening to Him, and then responding. You know, they could have listened to Him and said, that's cool, we're just going to stay out here. But they didn't. They responded to the Word of God. They went and found and experienced Jesus, but then they shared Him with others. They went out and told others about Him and what they have. You know, when we think about testifying and witnessing to others, we sometimes get all tense because it almost like we have to put it in this formula. But all we're doing is sharing who Jesus is to us and what He's done for me. That's easy. I don't have to come up with some formula. I just got to say, here's who I know and here's what He's done for me. That's testifying. That's what people need to hear. It's what He's done for us that makes it real. Are you willing to be like the wise man, the shepherd? Make that commitment in life to follow and seek Him. We're going to pray and just ask if you just put your hand over your heart. And we're just welcome the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your great love and that You are a good shepherd. And that You continually, You did it, God, but You continually reach out to us. You continually reach out and find us when we're lost. Find us when we stray off the path, and You continue to come and seek us, God, and help us, Lord. Lord, You don't put blame and You don't say, well, that's their fault they're off the path. But Lord, it's who You are. You come and get us, God. You come after us, Lord. We thank You for that. We welcome, Lord, that You would give us the heart of a shepherd and the heart of a wise man, Lord, to seek after You and to worship You and give You our gifts. We give You glory, Father. We thank You, Lord. We thank You, Lord, for Your kindness to us. In Jesus' name.